LA's little Tokyo district is right in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. It's one of only three Japan towns in the United States. It's also one of the oldest parts of Los Angeles, dating to the late 1800s when Japanese settlers moved in. It's only about a five-block area, but those blocks are rich with culture and history. Unfortunately, the National Trust for Historic Preservation has recently added Little Tokyo to its list of the 11 most endangered spots in the United States. Along with dozens of legacy businesses in the area that have been here for decades, are scores of others struggling against the increased cost of living and gentrification. Today, we take a look at the battle between old and new, tradition and modernity, as Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. This is the site of the original Buddhist temple in Los Angeles. It's right in the heart of Little Tokyo, which is right in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. And this is Kristen Hayashi. And Kristen, you're the historian curator here. This is a significant piece of property right here. This is where many things happen that were good and were not so good.
That's right. Yeah, so we're standing in front of the former Honpa Honganji Buddhist temple building, built in 1925. So this year, this building turns 100 years old.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and you know, this really was like an anchor for the community. In addition to it being a Buddhist temple, it was a site where people gathered for weddings and funerals and you know, all other activities.
Well, we also know about the internment camps, and tell us how that and this interface.
At the time of World War II, a large portion of the Japanese-American population lived within like a 3-mile radius of Little Tokyo. And so when they were forced to leave their homes and communities, the gathering site was in Little Tokyo. It's actually around the corner at the former Union Church. That's where the civil control station was. But from historical photographs in our collection, we know that buses were lined up here. People were milling about, their belongings were out here. Many people stored their belongings here during the war, and then after the war, for those that returned, you know, some of them stayed here at the Buddhist temple. This was like a temporary hostel, as were some of the other religious organizations in the.
This was a difficult time for so many people.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the United States was at war with Japan, but this is part of a long history of discrimination and prejudice towards Japanese immigrants and their descendants, and Japanese Americans were faced with so much prejudice and discrimination, and there was no evidence of espionage or sabotage, and yet the federal government proceeded to remove Japanese Americans summarily from the West Coast and to incarcerate them during World War II without any due process.
And that's what this museum is all about, isn't it? It's remembering, it's reflecting, it's trying to say, let's not go there again, right?
That's right.
Talk
yes.
about that.
You know, we tell American history through the experience of Japanese Americans, you know, as a way to ensure that this doesn't happen again.
And so the new building over there, and you can't really see this very well on camera, but this building reflects into the glass of that building, and that's to sort of say, this is where we've been, and this is where we're going.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's a metaphor sort of for Little Tokyo. You know, I think that our past here is definitely reflected in what you see today. But yes, this was the original site of the Japanese American National Museum when it opened in 1992, during the middle of the LA uprising. And across the way here on our campus, this is our pavilion that was built in 1999. And the architects designed it in a way so that you could see our historic building or our history reflected in the glass. And this building sort of reflects the future.
The history here is really, really deep and old. Goes back to what, the 1800s?
That's right. Last year, we celebrated the 140th anniversary of Little Tokyo.
And there are a lot of businesses along here that are all part of that timeline.
Yeah, so this really was like the heart, I think, of Little Tokyo. The first business, really what started Little Tokyo, opened across the street, which is now Bunkado.
Yeah.
But it was a restaurant called Kame Restaurant.
Right.
And so with the opening of that restaurant, we say that that's when Little Tokyo started.
Right.
But, you know, in the 1880s, you know, Los Angeles was just starting to grow at that point, too.
That's right.
And so really the Japanese population was fairly small. You know, Japanese laborers were encouraged to come over here to help as the United States was industrializing. But I think, you know, at that time, if you were a Japanese immigrant, you'd want to kind of be around other people that had a similar background.
And that's what brought people together. And that was the glue that bonded them together, right? And then we see, you know, kind of ebbs and flows in what's going on around here. Now we're in sort of a sort of a little period of trying to readjust because there have been some chaotic sort of things happening here in this neighborhood. And I want you to tell me about that in light of the fact we're going down a whole block of businesses, many of which were legacy.
That's right, yeah. So I think Little Tokyo really formed in part because, yes, immigrants wanted to have a taste of home or to be around other people with the same background. But it was also due to a lot of discrimination and prejudice that was here mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so this ethnic enclave kind of was born out of that. But as a result, a lot of, you know, Japanese small businesses opened up in, you know, this neighborhood. So restaurants and stores, religious institutions like the Buddhist temple, there's several Buddhist temples around here, opened theaters. And this really became the commercial and residential hub for the community.
So now it's still sort of that, but it's having some identity changes, some identity shifting, some sort of undermining going on here.
Little Tokyo has always been the heart of the Japanese American community.
Always.
And so even though, you know, after World War II, not as many Japanese Americans lived in this neighborhood, they would still come down here to shop,
right,
to go to the restaurants, to the Buddhist temples, Christian churches, and also for Nisei Week and the Obon festivals during the summer.
Yeah.
So this has always been, you know, again, the heart of the community.
And what we have down here is another church. And tell me about this church.
Sure. So we're walking down First Street, and this is a part of the National Historic Landmark district. And so the Buddhist temple anchors one end of the National Historic Landmark district, and then former Union Church anchors the other part.
And that's what we're heading for
now. We're heading to right now. And so the Union Church was built in 1923. And again, another hub of the community, but that was also during World War II, that was where the civil control station was. And that was the gathering point for Japanese Americans who were forcibly removed from this area.
And taken to detention camps.
That's right.
There is so much history here. There is so much in this community that even we're learning, and I've been here for a long time. So Fox 11 News and Death will continue as we continue looking around Little Tokyo right after this break. Welcome back to Fox 11 News and Death. We're at the Japanese Village Plaza, where you can see these Chochin lanterns hanging over the very well-known plaza here. Chochin meaning lantern in Japanese. And Kristen Fukushima is the executive director of the Little Tokyo Community Council.
Correct.
I got it right.
You got it right.
And so this community of Little Tokyo, we're told, is one of the most endangered communities in the United States. Explain that to me and the level of concern about that.
Yeah, so last year at Little Tokyo, we celebrated our 140th birthday, which is very exciting.
But happy birthday.
Thank you. But with that last year, the National Trust for Historic Preservation named Little Tokyo one of the 11 most endangered places in America.
That's kind of scary.
It is a little scary. And I think, you know, part of it for us is that even if you're here on a weekend when it looks really crowded, we want people to know that beneath that, there is still a big overriding community concern about what is our future, especially with our businesses. Honestly, particularly our legacy businesses, where for us, that means you're here for over 20 years, but how do they really compete and survive in a really ever-changing climate?
But how do we get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of waves of displacement that Little Tokyo's faced. We used to be 10 square blocks, now we're about 2.5 square blocks. That's, you know, incarceration, that is redevelopment, that is ongoing gentrification today. So just a lot of the pressures and changes that impacts a lot of neighborhoods in LA, I think here we feel that a lot as well.
And you get the sense that this narrowing could continue to occur unless something is done. And if that's the case, what is that something you're doing?
I think definitely without doing anything, we'll continue to see that erasure and displacement. So organizations like ours and our partners, we really fight for Little Tokyo's future, whether that is supporting small businesses or trying to build a new community development that can anchor the future, or fighting against harmful or threatening developments like the 4th and Central Cold Storage Project. So I think it's a multi-front battle, but it really takes community, collective concern, and broader support to help keep these neighborhoods.
This community has been here for at least, it's in my mind, forever and always. I mean, mm-hmm. It's gone back decades and decades. When did it start?
1884.
And since 84, we've seen this change. And some of the business people are very concerned at this point, correct?
Yes, I think they worry about their livelihood, their future, whether it is who will take over their business or can they continue to afford their rent, or will they not get their lease renewed? Kind of all of those typical concerns. But for us, our small businesses are really the heart of the neighborhood, so we want to fight for them.
I want to talk to some of these small business people. And so why don't we just go take a look and see if we can knock on a couple of doors and find out what their feelings are. So back in 1937, this used to be known as the Far East Cafe. 18 years ago, Don Tejada bought it from another gentleman and turned it into the Far Bar. And well, there's Don right there. And you bought this 18 years ago, and you've seen a lot of change over those 18 years?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, when we first moved in, Little Tokyo was not a busy place. In fact, it seemed to be dying at that time. And it was gradually over the years, more people started to come to Little Tokyo. It became a destination choice for restaurants and shops. And basically anything Japanese was here, specialty stores, you know, obviously the ramen restaurants. We're surrounded by nonprofits.
But then things changed.
It changed during COVID, obviously, that was a terrible time. And after COVID ended, business did not come back. It was not the same. That's been a concern of any shop owner, any restaurant in Little Tokyo.
Right. But how's that affected you? I mean, has your business dropped?
Oh yeah, our business did drop substantially. And even after COVID ended, we probably got back maybe 50 or 60% of our former customers.
Yeah.
And the reason why people just left the area.
This is a drain in the neighborhood that you're worried about.
Yes.
Because this could either wipe the neighborhood into not oblivion, but into something even smaller, or it could be that the aggressive efforts that are being done to try to help the community could grow it.
Yes, that's our hope. The community is definitely behind Little Tokyo and all the businesses, and the greater community want Little Tokyo to survive. And I see it just by people starting to come back, and many of them are people that live, you know, in Orange County, in the valley, in faraway places, but they are now coming back to Little Tokyo.
But are you on is it sort of a precipice you're on, kind of like a cliff, and you're not sure how this is going to go yet? You just are fighting and trying to make it work?
Yeah, well, yeah. We are fighting, it's especially after the fires.
Yeah.
You know, that hurt business quite a bit.
Well, I just want to tell everybody what that is, because this is a community where symbolism is very valuable.
Yes.
This is known as a Daruma. Basically, it's a good luck symbol, and I want to wish you a lot of luck with this effort. And we're going to go across the street to where Little Tokyo kind of got started.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah?
Oh.
They're very cute.
They are.
This is a Japanese character known as a fuku. It means fortune in Japanese. Found it here at a little gift shop called Bunkado, which is owned by Irene Simonian. And Irene, your middle name is?
Tsukada.
And that's easy enough to say. I could have said it myself, right? It's a gift shop.
Yes.
And this is a gift shop that has been here for a very long time. Yes, tell me about the history here.
This shop was started by my aunt and uncle, Tokio and Sue Ueyama, in 1946.
591.
So we are seeing our 79th year in operation.
That's amazing. And who came up with the name of the store, Bunkado, which means House of Culture?
Correct.
See how much Japanese I'm learning during this show?
Good.
Thank
You're
you very
learning
much.
Fast.
Yeah.
My uncle Tokio Ueyama was an accomplished artist, graduating from USC Fine Arts School in 1915. Studied at Pennsylvania Academy of Arts as well.
Wow.
So he started this shop right after World War II ended. And I believe this was sort of a center attracting his friends who are artists.
They call this the birthplace of Little Tokyo.
Yes. This site is the site of the Kame restaurant that was opened way back in 1884.
Right after I was born.
I don't think so. But
thank you. All the rest will be easy questions.
Yeah, it's considered the birthplace of Little Tokyo.
And that's significant in a place where people are concerned about the future.
Correct.
And you are.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, as you can imagine, this place, starting in 1884, has seen a lot of ups and downs. We've seen a lot of changes over the years, some good, some not so good. But you can imagine, over the years, this Little Tokyo was started as a place that was one of the few places in Los Angeles that Japanese people could live and open up businesses. So, of course, you know, it's evolved for the better. And we've been bigger for sure, but in one sense, we've never been healthier. We've got a lot of traffic here.
You're very optimistic about this neighborhood.
I am.
Because?
I think that this place is still here because of the hard work and sweat and tears.
And heart.
And heart of our ancestors, and still going on today. People work hard keeping this place popular and strong. It's very heartwarming to see.
Do you think there are people that do not know Little Tokyo is here?
Oh, there's always. There will always
be. It's hard to believe though, isn't it?
Kind of,
been around forever.
Yes.
Big part of downtown Los Angeles, mm-hmm. And yet?
Yep, people will say they've never been here and how happy they are to have discovered us. But honestly, we get people from all over the world as well who come here as a destination.
And it's very quaint and it's very fun to look at. And there are lots of interesting restaurants and really neat gift shops like Bunga Dope. This is a legacy business. What is a legacy business?
Businesses that have been around as long as mine, 79 years, lends a level of authenticity and depth. And my customers really feel very strongly about our being so old.
Are you basically leaders because of your status?
I suppose you could say that in a way. These old businesses bring the depth to Little Tokyo.
So there are a number of these businesses that are legacy businesses. Irene Sakata, Simonian. We're gonna go to another one, right nearby. What you're looking at right now is a Maneki Neko. This is a traditional Japanese thing that welcomes you in or also often used as a bank. Where we're at right now is a Japanese dinnerware and gift shop. And this is Carol Tanita. And the shop is called?
Rafu Busan Incorporated.
And it's not that you've been here a long time because you are a legacy business, but this is actually the third storefront you've had?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, we were part of Historic First Street in 1958 and before. The Kawaratanis took it over from then. And then from First Street, we were there 30 years. And because of eminent domain, when they decided to build the Japanese Village Plaza, we had to relocate. So between 1978 and 79, we relocated to 326 East 2nd Street, which used to be Little Tokyo Movie Theater. And so we were there, we remodeled, floored it.
And then you ended up here.
It was, yes. And then from there, they sold the building in 2015. And we were very fortunate to move into the Honda Plaza.
Where you are now.
Where we are now.
Yeah, you know, this having to move here, move there, move over here, that's chaotic.
It's chaotic, it's...
And are you sensing some of that turmoil right now as things are changing in this community?
I'm not sure if I feel turmoil. I feel anxiety sometimes.
What is that anxiety?
I think because of the change, like Metro and the project developments, and there's a lot of non-Japanese-based companies moving into the area.
And there's also the concern about keeping Little Tokyo as a very special place in this downtown area.
Correct, correct.
And that's an effort that's well underway, as we've learned. And you're kind of involved in that as well, right?
Yes. Whenever Little Tokyo Community Council or any of our other social organizations asks for help, we try to participate as much as we can.
Is part of that because you don't want to have to move a fourth time?
Well, you know, my roots here are also here in Little Tokyo. I've been working for Rafu Busan for over 50 years. So I started on First Street. It was my first part-time job. And then helped me pay my way through school. But it's the community, the people, the businesses that keep me rooted here.
And isn't that what it's all about, community?
Yes, it is.
It's about community. You know, people coming together, people having a common goal, a common need, a common desire.
Right, correct.
And so as you think in terms of the commonality of what you all are going through right now, we only have a little less than a minute here. What is it you want to see happen in this community?
I would like to see, of course, we want people, new people, our old customers, new customers, to come back and appreciate what we have here and what we're trying to keep, and appreciate the mom and pop, the brick and mortar, and that we're not just anime, although that's also part of our culture, but you know, we have a collection of restaurants and craft stores and theater and museum, and that's what our community is, to keep our culture going.
Because it's about culture.
Right, culture, yes.
And keeping that culture intact and taking what was and moving it toward the future in some way, because the future is changing.
Right, it is.
Not much we can do about that, but what we can do is try to secure it. And Carol Tanita, thank you very much for letting us stop into your shop.
Thank you very much.
And Fox 11 News In Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. If you'd like an audio version of this program, just go to my podcast. It's called What the Hal. It's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth from Little Tokyo, where we say sayonara. See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you very much.